I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. Some tech headlines. Kosla Ventures, a California green technology venture capital firm, welcomed a new senior advisor, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Over on Twitter, Britney Spears passed Ashton Kutcher as the tweeter with the most followers. Congratulations, Britney. And Zynga, the company that makes the Facebook game Farmville, says 10% of the U.S. population now plays Farmville. So if you see 10 people, one of them is worried about an imaginary cow. Speaking of Facebook and worrying, Mark Zuckerberg, founder and CEO of the company, said in a Washington Post op-ed on Monday that changes are on the way to make privacy controls simpler. This amid concerns from users, U.S. senators, and businesses about Facebook privacy. Mark Rotenberg is executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, one of 15 groups filing a complaint against Facebook with the FCC recently. What was your first thought when you read this?
I expected to see this, but we really need to hear more about the details. Social networking is something that relies very much on trust. And some people want to share a lot of information. Some people want to share a little bit of information. Sometimes people's privacy preferences change over time. But the key always is that it has to be the user who is in control of those decisions. And what we've seen, and I think what many of the users have come to see, is that Facebook has been trying to take that control away from users.
Zuckerberg spoke at a conference last month, and he unveiled some new features and said if they work like they should,
then we can create a web that is more social, personalized, smarter, and semantically aware.
Mark, can there be a social web like Zuckerberg wants that still has the privacy control that your group and other groups want?
Oh, I think so very much. In fact, I actually think, and this may sound a bit of a paradox, but it is really my view, I think you need to give privacy controls to people for the social web to work. In other words, people need to decide how they want to present themselves in the social environment, and that all turns on their ability to make those choices really based on opt-in, what information to reveal and to whom.
But Facebook still has 400 million members, and it's growing. So is this a threat or a blip on the radar? Susan Herring is a professor of information science at Indiana University. I asked her what's at stake.
I think a lot is at stake, John. Despite Facebook's size, it could lose users. Recall what happened with Friendster, the first social network site in the pre-Facebook days. Users then became unhappy with Friendster policy about fake profiles, and a number of people were unhappy and voted with their feet, or their keyboard, you might say, in a mass exodus, which then fed the rise of MySpace. Then, of course, Facebook later drew users away from MySpace. So some new social media site could come along that people can get behind, and they could shift their social interactions there. It's happened before.
I've kind of wondered about that. If for something like this to work, it can only work if it has a critical mass of users. But Facebook is still growing rapidly.
Well, history teaches us that no technology, however popular, continues to grow at an exponential rate indefinitely. Growth rates are going to level off, even for popular technologies, as saturation or near saturation of all the potential users is reached. So Facebook growth is bound to level off for this reason alone eventually. But large-scale disaffectation with a media provider can have significant effects. So many Facebook users are dissatisfied now, and when, and I say when, not if, an attractive alternative comes along, I predict that a large number of users will shift to it.
Wait, so when? So even if none of this dust-up over privacy had happened, you'd think Facebook would simply go out of fashion?
I think it's possible. It may happen now sooner rather than later.
Susan Herring from Indiana University. When the iPad came out last month, some people were upset that you couldn't make phone calls from it. Glenn Fleischman decided to do something about that.
You know, I bought the iPad camera connection kit to connect cameras to an iPad because that's its name. And it turns out that even though Apple designed this thing for cameras, it'll support audio input through a mic, USB headsets. It supports even powered external USB speakers. So if you want to use the iPad to make phone calls, you can use a camera connection kit piece. I plug this in, put the headset on, and then you can use a program like Skype or Vonage or Line 2 and make phone calls and use the headset for the audio or the tiny built-in mic on the iPad.
Glenn Fleischman is a tech reporter in Seattle. More on all these stories at futuretense.publicradio.org. This is Future Tense. I'm John Moe.